بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 9th of February in the year 2018 الحمد لله we've completed the second month the 60th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the majestic companion سيدنا خالد ابن الوليد رضي الله And I'm now discussing the glorious battle of Yarmouk. And we're on the first day called the Day of Probing. And the last thing I mentioned was the auspicious start, how the battle began with the conversion of Jarja, Rahmatullah Ali, one of the Roman generals. Now came the phase of duels between the champions of both sides. Practically all the Romans were killed in combat. The honors of the day going to the late, great, deceased Khalif's son, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu. He killed five Roman officers, one after the other. This dueling went on until midday. So you know, it's in many, many of the campaigns, in the opening duels, Abu Bakr's son is mentioned prominently. And not on the day of Yarmouk, He killed five. And this continued till midday. Then the Roman commander-in-chief, Vahan, decided that he had had enough of this. And that if it went on very much longer, not only would he lose a large number of senior officers, but also the moral effect on his forces would be disastrous. He would thus have a better chance of success in a general battle. In which the sheer weight in numbers would favor his forces. But he was rightly cautious. He thus first attempted a limited offensive on a broad front to test the strength of the Muslim forces and if possible, achieve a breakthrough wherever the Muslim front was weak. Thus Vahan gave orders for just one third of his entire infantry of the four battalions to advance, which numbered around 40,000 men in total, the exact number of the entire Muslim force. So simply put, what was the strategy on the first day for the Roman commander-in-chief? He thought, if I send one third of my forces forward, two thirds remain inactive, despite sending a third forward, it's exactly the same numbers as the Muslims. And maybe they'll be able to complete the task. This human wave moved slowly forward. And as it came within range of the Muslim archers, it was subjected to intense archery, which caused some casualties. This wave continued to advance. And before long, struck the Muslim front rank. Soon the believers had drawn their swords. And both sides were locked in mortal combat. The action of this day could thus be best described as steady and moderately hard. The believers held their own. The Romans did not reinforce their forward infantry. And at sunset, the action ended with the two armies separating and returning to their respective camps. Casualties were light on this day. Though higher on the side of the Romans. It is related by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 133. The Muslim women greeted their men with pride and wiped the sweat and blood from their faces and arms with their head coverings. The wives thereupon said to their husbands, Rejoice in the tidings of paradise, O friends of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, on the first day, Vahan had got nowhere. So this was the gist of what happened on the first day. One third of the entire Roman front went forward. There was a steady battle during the day. But the Muslims held their own. And as the sun set, they separated. But Roman casualties were higher than the Muslim casualties. So this is what happened on the first day of Yarmouk. The second day, entitled... The assaulting of the wings. So note Vahan, on each of the days, he's trying a different strategy. So on the second day, his plan was to attack the wings of the Muslims. Vahan now called a council of war, at which plans for the next day were disclosed. He would have to do something different if success were to be achieved. And Vahan decided to launch his next attack at the first light of dawn, in the hope of catching the Muslims of God. Moreover, he would now also attack in greater strength. Note, on the first day, he didn't reinforce a third of his army. He could have easily sent them more. Maybe he was trying to work out how strong the Muslims were. But now he's going to put more pressure on the Muslims. The plan was now the two central European armies, both under the control of Deyjan, would be put into holding attacks to tie down the Muslim centers, i.e. Abu Ubaidah and Shurahbil, radiallahu anhum, as cause, whilst the two wings would launch their major thrusts and either drive their Muslim counterparts off the battlefield or push them into the center. So this was the plan. Keep the central Muslim armies at bay, engage with them, but not heavily. So Abu Ubaidah Shurabil, radiallahu anhum, has caused, keep them at bay, engage with them with a full attack on the wings, so that the central armies could not help the wings, if you understood. This was the plan. To have a grand view of the battle, Vahan had a large pavilion placed on a hillock behind the Roman right, from where the entire plain could be seen. Here Vahan positioned himself with his court and a bodyguard of 2,000 Armenians. So note the difference. Khalid bin Walid, right in the thick and thin of things. Vahan, so he's on Yazid's side, radiallahu. So the counterpart, he's found like an elevated place, 2,000 bodyguards watching the, you know, scene what's taking place. The Muslims were indeed certainly caught unaware. But Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu had ordered the placing of a brave, strong outpost line in front during the night. And these outposts caused sufficient delay in the Roman advance to enable the Muslims to get into their battle positions. So this is the brilliance of Khalid. He knew that they may attack just prior to dawn. So obviously, to get into battle formations, it takes a bit of time. So during the night, he placed a front outpost, very brave souls, think about that. So if there was a sudden attack, they would stall the Romans, so that the Muslims would get into position. So Khalid actually foresaw this. And that outpost of the Muslims managed to get the Muslims enough time to get into position. The sun was thus not even raised when the two forces clashed. The two Muslim centers held their own. But as mentioned, the Romans were not pressing hard, as this was meant to be a limited attack to hold those Muslim corps in position from assisting their wings. So simply put, Shurahbil, radiallahu anhu, central right battalion, and Abu Ubaidah, central left battalion, they were holding their own. But don't forget, the Romans weren't pressing here. They wanted to keep them busy from stopping the Muslims to help their wings. Thus, as planned, on the wings fell the heaviest blows of the Roman forces, and hence these bore the brunt of the fighting. On the Muslim right, Ay Amr's corps, radiallahu anhu, the army of Qanatir, consisting mainly of Slavs, attacked the corps of Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. The believers held on bravely, and the first attack was repulsed. Qanatir thereupon attacked for a second time with fresh troops. Again, the believers repulsed them. However, when Qanatir launched an attack a third time, again using fresh regiments, the resistance of the now tired Muslims finally broke, and the bulk of the wing fell back to the camp, whilst part of it joined the central right corps of Shurabil, radiallahu anhu. So simply put, what happened? Qanatir, who's facing Amr ibn al-As's wing, he sends the first wave onto Amr ibn al-As's wing. The Muslims held him. Then, after maybe an hour or so, he changes the the tired Roman front line, put some fresh troops there. The Muslims can't do that. They haven't got the men. So now they're facing fresh Romans. They held the line again. It's when they sent the third fresh Roman wave that finally Amr ibn al-As's wing pushed back. But some of it joined Shudabil's corps, have you understood? So two things happened. Most of it pulled back. Some of it joined the central right wing of Sayyidina Shudabil, radiallahu. As the corps fell back in some disorder, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu thereupon ordered his cavalry regiment of 2,000 horsemen to counterattack and repulse the advancing Romans. The cavalry went into battle with great dash and for some time checked the Roman advance, but was unable to hold it for long. It also was repulsed by the Romans and turned away from battle, also making for the Muslim camp. So simply put, Amr ibn al-As, the wing commander of the Allah, he now had to go with his cavalry, 2,000, to hopefully push the Romans back. He tried, he wasn't successful. So now the Roman cavalry, the cavalry of Amr ibn al-As is now also forced back. However, as the horsemen reached the camp along with their foot soldiers, they found a line of women waiting for them with tent poles and stones in their hands. The women cried out, "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse those who run away from the enemy." And in particular to their own husbands, they cried out, "You are not our husbands if you cannot save us from the unbelievers." It is related that other women began to beat drums and sang the following improvised song. Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 140. So they sung this to give courage to their husbands and brothers. "O you who run from a constant woman who has both beauty and virtue and leave her to the unbelievers, the hated and evil unbeliever to possess disgrace and ruin." So they were reciting poetry to encourage the husbands, brothers and sons to re-engage. In addition, these Muslims received not just stinging rebukes, they were also assaulted by their women. They started throwing stones and started whacking them with the temples. First came a shower of stones. Then the women rushed at the men, striking horse and rider with temples. Subhanallah, this was more than the proud warriors could take. Full of remorse, they turned back from the camp and once again advanced in blazing anger towards the Roman left wing of Qanatir. Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu had thus now launched his second counter-attack with the bulk of his corps. So all this was taking place on the right wing. So you realize critical situation has been reached. The women are now doing the admirable job of getting the men back onto the to against the Romans. But what's happening on the left wing? Let us now turn to the Muslim left wing. The situation here was only a little less serious. Here too, the initial Roman attack was repulsed. But in a second attack, the Romans broke through the core of Yazid, radiallahu. This was the European wing of Gregory with chains. More slow moving than others, but also more solid. So there's a difference. It took three waves to knock Amr's wing back, radiallahu. It only took two to take Yazid's wing back. Does that mean they were weaker? No, because they were in chains. The counterpart of Yazid. So they had to go forward. The fact that they repulsed people in chains, you got to give them incredible credit for that. But the second wave pushed them back. Sayyidina Yazid radiallahu anhu too used his cavalry regiment to counter attack. And it too was also repulsed. And after a period of stiff resistance, the warriors of Yazid radiallahu anhu also fell back to their camp where the noble women were waiting. So same plan, Amr ibn al-As sent his cavalry of 2,000 men. They couldn't resist the Romans, they came back. Women started clobbering them. Same thing happened here. Yazid sent his cavalry forward, they were pushed back. Then the women were waiting for them. The first Muslim horseman from the left wing to arrive at the camp was Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiallahu. And the first woman to meet him was none other than his wife, Sayyidina Hind, radiallahu. She struck at the head of his horse with a tent pole and she cried out, "Where are you going, O son of Harb? Return to battle and show your courage so that you may be forgiven your sins against the Messenger of Allah." Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu experienced his wife's violent temper on many occasions. He would thus rather face the Romans, hence he quickly returned. So look how interesting, this is Yazid's core. His father's in this battle, Abu Sufyan, who's in his 70s. So obviously, you know, he's to be on the battlefield's enough honor. He's come back. His wife, Hazrat Muawiyah's mother, Hind, radiallahu anha, this is what they don't know about this woman, right? She's ready for her husband. Where are you going? Because now is the time to undo all the sins that you committed against the Holy Prophet. So Abu Sufyan thought, Romans or my wife? He thought, Romans. Because my wife something else, radiallahu anha. Indeed, soon the whole core of Yazid returned to battle. Sayyidina Hind radiallahu anha, on seeing the sight, burst into the following song. Hafiz Waqidi in his Futuh al-Sham, page 140. She recited, "We are the daughters of the night. We move amongst cushions with a gentle feline grace, and our bracelets are on our elbows. If you advance, we shall embrace you. And if you retreat, we shall forsake you with a loveless separation." So Sayyidina Hind radiallahu anha, she's basically saying, you know, our husbands, if you don't go back and fight. Such was the transformation in the life of Sayyidina Hind radiallahu anha, now making amends for all the crimes in her past. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with her. Ameen. So note, simply put, all hell's breaking loose on the battlefield. Right wing and left wings. If it wasn't for the women, what would have happened? It was now midday, imagine. It's not even got to Zohr, all this is happening. It is now midday. Whilst the Muslim wings were engaged in a tense encounter, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, was all the while just watching these developments from his position in the center. So far he had done nothing to help the wings and had refused to be drawn into battle with his central reserve before it was absolutely necessary. Then with the eventual retreat of both his wings, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now had no choice but to assist and quickly re-establish the Muslim positions. He thus launched into the right wing with his mobile guard, and one cavalry regiment struck ferociously at the flank of the force of Qanatir, whilst at the same time Amr counter-attacked from the front. Simply put, subhanallah, the Roman wing was now being assaulted from two frontal sides and thus quickly broke and beat a hasty retreat to the original position. So basically, simply put, Khalid bin Walid, he didn't want to commit because he didn't know which wing was going to buckle. But when he saw the right wing basically on the last thread, he had no choice. So he launched into it. So now Amr ibn al-As with his cavalry also joins. And they've regrouped. And with the added impetus of Khalid bin Walid's mobile guard, they pushed the right wing, the left wing of the Romans back, adjacent to Amr radiallahu anhu. Alhamdulillah, Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu had thus regained all the ground that he had lost, and once again reorganized his right wing for the next encounter. As soon as the right wing was restored, Sayyidina Khalid now dashed without a moment to lose towards the left wing. By now Sayyidina Yazid radiallahu anhu had begun a major counter-attack from the front to push the Romans back. Sayyidina Khalid now did two things before engaging radiallahu anhu. Firstly, he detached one cavalry force under Dirar radiallahu anhu and ordered him to attack the center nearest to the wing, the force of Deirjan, in order to create a diversion so that they could not help or assist their right wing, which faced Yazid radiallahu anhu. Let's break this down. What's Khalid done? Khalid, before he helps Yazid's wing, left wing radiallahu anhu, he knew that the wing that was facing Abu Ubaidah might come to their aid. Have you understood? So what Khalid brilliantly did was, he detached some of the cavalry. He told Dirar, engage. help Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. So they can't come to the aid when I'm assisting Yazid radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anhu. Secondly, Khalid radiallahu anhu then with the rest of his cavalry launched into the wing of Gregory, the European force. Here again, the Roman wing withdrew under the counter-attacks from the two frontal positions. But this time moved slowly because with their chains, they could not move fast. Incredibly, whilst the Roman wing was falling back, Sayyidina Dirar, who was told to check the center from helping their wing, he broke through the force of Deirjan and managed to not only get to the commander of the two centers, Deirjan, but also kill him. He managed to retreat then back to the Muslim line. So that wasn't part of the mandate. His job was just to keep them in check. The commander of the two central Roman battalions was Deirjan. So this is the brilliance of Dirar. He thought, Deirjan's a brave warrior. He comes to the front. If I can take him out, this will help Khalid radiallahu. And he spotted him. So imagine, how brave is this? You've only got a few, you know, cavalry, and you're going for the main guy. Not only gets to him, engages with him, takes him out, and then he comes back. Thus, on the second day, the Muslims had faced a critical situation, but had regained their lost ground. The believers, one could say, had won this round on points. In the Roman camp, the mood hardened. Thousands of Romans had been slain on the second day. And the Muslims had not only repulsed the wings of their army, but also attacked one of their centers. And the commander of the two centers, Deirjan, had been killed. So it was disastrous for them. This was a great loss for Vahan, for Deirjan was a distinguished and highly esteemed general. So now there was a problem. He was the commander of the two central battalions of the Romans. So who's now going to take their place? Have you understood? The commander-in-chief, Vahan, thus appointed another general, one by the name of Qurin, to command Deirjan's force, the center which faced the central left of Abu Ubaidah's force, radiallahu anhu, and transferred the command of the other center, which faced Shurabil's central right force, to Qanatir, the commander of the wing which faced Amr's wing to the right. Simply put, Qanatir now had control of the wing and the center, and faced Amr and Shurabil's forces. Have you understood? So let's put it simply. There's been a change of command now amongst the battalions. The wing facing Yazid is still the same. The Romans haven't got rid of Gregory. He's still there. But now there's a missing commander for the two central battalions. The battalion facing Abu Ubaidah, the commander now there is Qurin. General Qurin is in command facing Abu Ubaidah's battalion. But now, Vahan, he gave the battalion facing Shurabil's forces and the right wing of Amr's forces, both of those under the command of Qanatir. Have you understood? So Qanatir initially only faced Amr's forces. But now Vahan said, O Qanatir, you also have the command of the left central wing facing Shurabil. So he's commanding two. There was a reason for that. Because this was the plan of Vahan now to use these wings on the next encounter. This was necessary for the next day's battle would be focused with Qanatir's forces, which faced the central right and right wing of the believing forces. Have you understood? So this was the second day. So note, every day is getting more intense. The plans of the Romans is chopping and changing, trying to break through the Muslim ranks. Moving to the third day, entitled, the assault upon the Muslim right forces. So simply put, the third day is now all the attacks on the right. So who's going to face the brunt? Amr ibn al-As's battalion and Shurabil's battalion. Have you understood? Who's the commander of the opposing battalions? Qanatir. That's why he's been given the command. So the action is going to be on this side. Gregory's wing of chains on the Muslim left made no move on the third day, as it had suffered more heavily on the previous day than the wing of Qanatir, which faced Amr's right wing. So basically, they were having a break. Right? Gregory's wing facing Yazid's, nothing happened there. The central force of Qurin facing Abu Ubaidah, made a limited effort on the front of Abu Ubaidah as a diversionary measure to tie down Muslim reserves. But the other center of the Armenians and the wing of the Russian and Slavs, both now under the control of Qanatir, struck with extreme severity at the Muslim central right core of Shurabil and the right wing of Amr ibn al-As. So we got the game plan. Nothing is happening on the left. Qurin is making a limited attack on Abu Ubaidah. Why? So he can't help the other central right core of Shurabil. But the most force is on the central right and the right. Have you understood? This is where the heavy fighting is taking place on the third day. The initial attack was again repulsed by Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu and Shurabil radiyallahu. But the Roman advantage of numbers again, which the believers could only put up the same tight soldiers, soon began to tell. Thus, shortly before midday, Qanatir broke through in several places. The right wing of Amr fell back to camp, and the right part of Shurabil's front was also pushed back, whilst its left part still held bravely to its position. So simply what has happened? Due to the onslaught, same thing happened. They held their own for a while, but with fresh troops, eventually Amr's wing was pushed back. But Shurabil's wing, two things happened. The right part of Shurabil's wing pushed back, but the left part remained firm. Have you understood? Those several gaps now appeared in the Muslim front. Again, the noble Muslim women, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, came into action with tentpole stones and their sharp tongues. And again, the Muslims recoiled from them to face the Romans. It is related. One of the Muslims confided to his comrade, "It is easy to face the Romans than our women." Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi in his Futuh al-Sham, page 142. And that was an exaggeration. He goes, "What's the point of going back?" Because we get more grief from our women. At least we can strike the kuffar. Thus, the bulk of the second corps, the central right and right wing, re-established a second line. Granted, not in its original position, and held the Roman efforts to break through. So what's happened? The entire wing of Amr has pulled back. The half of Shurabil's wing has pulled back. With the women, they've pushed the forces back forward, but they haven't got to the initial lines. Have you understood? So basically, Amr ibn al-As hasn't got to his initial position, but he's gone forward. He's established another line. And the same with the right wing of Shurabil. At this critical stage, Amr ibn al-As even took the offensive and struck at the Romans with his cavalry and infantry, intending to dislodge them from their forward positions, but had little success. At this critical stage, a Muslim woman came running to Khalid bin Walid. She suddenly got a brilliant idea and wanted Khalid to get the benefit of it, just in case he was not aware. So she said, "O son of Al-Walid, radiyallahu, you are amongst the noblest of the Arabs. Know that men only stay with their commanders. If the commanders stand fast, the men stand firm. If the commanders are defeated, the men are defeated. I wish to share this with you." Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi in his Futuh al-Sham, page 142. Sayyidina Khalid reassured her and thanked her politely. Now Khalid radiyallahu anhu launched his cavalry reserve against the wing of Qanatir. At the same time, Amr's cavalry regiment maneuvered from the right and also struck Qanatir's wing, whilst the infantry of Amr and Shurabil radiyallahu anhum counter-attacked frontally, i.e. their counterparts on the right center, which was also under the command of Qanatir. Simply put, what happened? It was a four-way attack on the center and left wing of the Roman forces of Qanatir. Have you understood? So the right wing has pushed forward. There's an attack there. And there's a three-pronged attack on the right wing of Amr, helping him. This time, the Roman opposition to the Muslim counter-attack proved much more stubborn, and hundreds of Muslims fell in combat. But, subhanallah, by dusk, the Romans were eventually pushed back to their original positions, and the situation was restored to as it was on the right. But it took all afternoon to do it. Imagine. 5 hours, 6 hours, continuous battle on the right to push them finally back to their initial positions. The third day had thus proved harder than the day before. However, the losses of the Romans far outnumbered those of the Muslims. The Romans were now getting desperate. All their attacks had failed in spite of a heavy toll in human life, and they were in no better a position than at the start of the battle. The commander-in-chief, Vahan, thus upbraided his generals, who promised in turn to do better on the next day. The next day would in fact be the most critical day of the fateful encounter. So note, you can see the strategy of Vahan. First day, entire force goes forward a third. Second day, attack on the wings. Third day, attack on the right side of the Muslim positions. And note, everything is detailed, but note the pivotal role of two. Of course, Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu, both the women. Look at how pivotal they were in holding the ranks of the Muslims. So really, all credit should go to the blessed females as well in this great encounter at Yarmouk. SubhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically three of the days of the encounter. The first, the second, and the third. And hopefully highlighting some of the key events that took place on those fateful days. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus solihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr sadaqallahu alazim.